Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. Thanks so much again for joining me. And we are back today, continuing our conversation that we started yesterday with Heather Kim. And this was a conversation that was recorded on the Good News Cruise earlier this year. And we're going to continue to talk about Ephesians 1. Yesterday, Heather shared a lot with us about her own practices of scripture and how God is speaking to her through God's word. And so we're going to continue through Ephesians chapter 1 today with Heather Kim.
But as you're saying, of like God, I think if God's not playing games, and he desires this for us. I love in verse 12, it kind of connects to that where he says, those who have hoped in Christ, so us, we have been destined and appointed to live for the praise of his glory. And so it's this thing of like, I have my purpose in life, your purpose in life is to give glory to God, right? We have this desire to say, I want to glorify God in all that I do. You know, most of the time I have that desire, you know, underneath, I want to glorify God in all that I do. And that's our purpose in life, is to be able to give him glory. And he's actually saying, what I have done is I've destined you and I've appointed you for this. So as I was reading it, it was like God saying, I'm actually giving you what you need. I'm empowering you to do everything that I've created you to do. You know, so this life that I've called you to live, this life of holiness, this life of purity, this life to glorify me. I'm not just like, you know, like you're saying, like, good luck out there. Hope you make it to heaven. Hope you don't fall off the cruise ship, you know, and not make it back. But he's saying, I'm actually equipping you, because it's not just saying, oh, I want this from you, but I've actually appointed you. And with an appointment comes an equipping. You know, he's saying, it's not just like, oh, I hope you can glorify me. It's like, I've actually, your destiny, I have destined you to give me glory. And so there's something like very securing in that too, to be like, there's actually something I have access to from God that is giving me this guarantee that's helping me to walk out my life in this way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And even just orienting our life to live for the praise of his glory. Like that actually is like really different than how the world would tell us to live. It's mm-hmm. like for my praise, you know, the world's telling me right. to live to gain as much praise as I can personally. And I was listening to a pastor, he was talking about how often we're saying, Lord, what's your will for my life? And he said, really, the prayer should be my life for your will. Lord, my life for beautiful. Your will, whatever you desire. That's where I want to be directing my life. And, you know, it's interesting. This is just where it gets really real, because sometimes we can say things like that. It's easier to hang on to it when things are going well. When things mm-hmm. are hard, that's when it really matters. Like, that's when scripture really becomes an anchor for us to not be swept away by the mm-hmm. waves of difficulty and suffering. We had Dr. John Bergsma on our podcast, and we were just talking about how do we have real hope and not have it be just like, you know, grandiose thinking, like, I get whatever I want, you know, I pray for whatever I mm-hmm. want kind of thing. And he said, really, it's about what will give God glory most. And he said, my son is dying. And he is. You can pray for Dr. Bergsma's son. Francis. And he said, and the question is, he said, we pray every day for his healing. Will God be glorified through a miracle or through an early death? Mm. And I'm listening to him and tears are like coming to my eyes, because I was looking at this man whose faith is so real, even in the midst of this trial. Mm-hmm. He's thinking, how will God be most glorified? And I will surrender to whatever that means, even if I'm going to have to go through mm-hmm. this incredible loss and suffering.
You know?
And the trust that that takes, that even in difficulty, God, he's the God of life. He doesn't bring about death in our, you know, for us, but that he can still bring good out of that. And that really is the power of the cross, right? Like, the cross is the most horrible thing. Jesus brings the most wonderful thing, you know, out of the cross, which he also wants to do in every area of our life.
Yeah. And I think that it's such a good, I mean, amazing story, but I think it's hard sometimes to read this and be like, this all sounds amazing, you know, and it kind of stays up here. And as the Holy Spirit brings it down to be like, what does it actually mean? And that's such a good example. What does it actually look like to live out of this place? Like we were talking a little bit about yesterday, what does it look like to live out of the reality that I'm chosen by God? What does it look like to live out of the reality that I've been sealed with the Holy Spirit and I have a guarantee? You know, Peter will talk about this in 1 Peter, and also there's a different translation of this, which the word guarantee is actually the down payment of our inheritance. And it's funny, actually, a handful of years ago, Heather and I were doing a women's conference together, and I was preaching on this mm-hmm. with a bunch of women, you know, and I was like, when you buy a house and you put the down payment on it, who owns the house? And all the women in Houston go, the bank. You know, and I was like, okay, well, clearly I don't own a house because I thought it was me, you know?
Wait, another analogy.
I was like, wait a minute. But it kind of works better, you know, that the bank owns the house. And so if you replace that idea, the guarantee of our salvation, or a different word, the down payment, that the Holy Spirit come and is, we're sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're given the Holy Spirit at our baptism. We receive more of the Holy Spirit at our confirmation. And then we live alive in the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit, who is the down payment of our inheritance. So what is our inheritance, right? What belongs to Jesus now belongs to us. The inheritance of the only Son of God now belongs to you, belongs to me. But you go in and you're like, this is my house. I'm living here. I have access to all the amenities of my house. I can, my dogs can run around in the backyard. I'm moving my bed in. I'm sleeping in the bedroom. And the down payment gives you access now to what hopefully eventually you'll own completely one day from the bank. And so that I love just like that wording of saying he's the guarantee, he's the down payment of the Holy Spirit, is the down payment of your inheritance. So what you'll have access to in heaven, what Dr. Bergsma is tapping into, is an ability to live in a heavenly reality now, because through the Holy Spirit, I've been given access to heavenly places. Mm-hmm. I've been given access to a power. I've been given access to a hope. I've been given access to a reality that I was actually meant to live in eternally. And now the job of the Christian who lives differently is to actually walk in that, to say, what does that look like? To actually walk in a way where I'm living in a heavenly reality now, mm-hmm. you know? And like, what does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, you're saying a lot of buzzwords that are just bringing to mind this, like, real situation that is unfolding in our life right now. Part of it is inheritance. Part of it is like the house analogy. So we have this beautiful home in Vancouver, which we could only afford because my parents bought the home with us. So they have a home and it's attached to our home. We're like living on this property together. And so, you know, we shared the cost. It's the only way that this could happen. But part of it is like our inheritance, in a sense, that this was the property we were going to live in forever. Mm-hmm. It was the dream. We built it together. It's gorgeous. Yeah. It overlooks mountains. You know, it's really lovely.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
Well, we live in Steubenville right now. And this has just occurred in the last year. And I can say what you were talking about, how God will equip you with an appointment comes yeah. equipping. This is grace. Grace yeah. that gets poured into our life. If we cooperate with it, we can live with this hope and belief in heavenly realities. I left our family, my long-term friends I grew up with, our dream house, the mountains, like just like beauty, and moved to Steubenville, and we live in a tiny house that was built 100 years ago that smells like mildew. And here, this is just real, you know, it's real. Yeah. Like, it just is like this tiny little place. And why is that? Because Jesus is the dream. Mm-hmm. I'm like, Lord, all of these other things actually aren't the dream. Like, yeah. And I'm trying to live in the reality. And part of that was a step in faith. Part of that is still hard. Every day, I have to say, those things are not my dream, Jesus. Mm-hmm. You are the dream. It's mm-hmm. your kingdom, what you are doing on the earth. And if I have to give up those things mm-hmm. so that you can be more glorified through the work that we do, or however you're going to do that, I don't even know. Like, I'm just like stepping out in trust that he will. Mm-hmm. And even though not all of me believes that with my whole heart, I'm choosing it. Like, I'm just choosing at this moment to believe mm-hmm. what he said is true, and that he is the greatest gift that we mm-hmm. could ever have on this earth,
yeah.
and then the one to come.
Yeah, because yeah. it's so easy too. Like, I was even reflecting on this in my own life, and I'm thinking of a passage I was reading this morning from Luke chapter 12, where Jesus, he's going on, but he's talking about, you know, have no anxiety. This is like, I'm taking care of the ravens, all these different things. And he says this great line. He says, don't you know, he calls his disciples little flock. He says, don't you know, little flock, that it's your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom? You know, and this idea as Christians, because I think for me sometimes I'm like, I'm just living still my life and I'm still going after all of the things that I desire and being like, what do I think a good life looks like? You know, and all of these things that will make me happy. And not that God doesn't want me to be happy, but I'm kind of still piecing together my own life. And then I'm like, okay, God, come in and bless it. Come in, Holy Spirit, come in and seal me. Come in and walk with me in this life that I'm building. And to say, actually, God, this reality, there's something that Heather's pointing to in her story that she's talking about, and something that Paul's getting to here is Christianity, Catholicism, walking with Jesus, it's a new life in Christ. That actually when you've been given the Holy Spirit, when Jesus came in Mark chapter 1, he says the kingdom of heaven is here, that right now, even on this boat, the kingdom of heaven has come to earth. And the kingdom of heaven has now collided with earth. And he's saying, you're now citizens because you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. You're citizens of a new kingdom. You're walking in a new power. You're walking in a new way of life. And so you have a new dream. You have a new vision. You have a new goal. Jesus is the new dream. And he's saying, I'm empowering you and I'm equipping you, not just to like be like, oh, you'll do it. Way to go. Like, you got it. Like, just keep going. But I'm empowering you with a heavenly power, with unlimited power to live differently. And there's a way, I think, that God wants us to stir up the reality of the graces of our baptism. I love that you said grace, Heather, because there's grace. It's not me or it's not you. It's
I have nothing. I cannot do that. I cannot do what we just did on my own.
Yeah.
Like, I really can't. Like, yeah. And really, I think it's been like over years of just spending time with Jesus and coming to trust him more, coming to believe him more. And it's not bad to have things, but is it for the praise of his glory? You know, like, mm-hmm. It's okay. Wherever the Lord has you, like, is whatever he's asking of you, are you able to say with an open heart, this is for your glory, Lord, my money, my house, my family, my, you know, my circumstances, wherever I might be, I really want this to be centered on you, you know? And that's a change even for my dad, who's a business owner, you know, he's really good at his job, and he had a change of heart, too, along the way, where he was like, wait, like, I was just doing this for maybe for some success, maybe to prove my dad wrong, who, like, his dad was really hard on him, you're never going to be anything. Maybe there was other reasons, and for my family, of course, but then along the way, he realized, wow, I really want this to be for God's glory, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a process,
is what I'm saying. 100%, like,
it's usually as we grow in our life with God, simply by prayer, by reading scripture, by going to mass, praying your rosary, you know, those things, the daily disciplines help us to grow in trust, and to come into relationship, because the things are only good if they bring us into relationship, or else they're just things.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Yeah, and I'm thinking back to, you know, what you're talking about at the beginning of that experience of the love of God being poured into your heart by the Holy Spirit, and kind of that continuous experience, and how it so much connects with this and what you're sharing and talking about, because so much of what I experienced and what we see in the scriptures too is the first thing that the Holy Spirit does is, like, yes, gives us a hunger for scripture. Yes, empowers us, gives us passion. But the first and primary job of the Holy Spirit is a revelation of the person of Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's like in a new way of the reason that we can leave things, you know, and be like, okay, this is the new dream. You know, I've been to her house. It's incredible. It's a hard place to leave. I didn't even want to go home, you know, literally like the mountains overlooking all that kind of stuff. But this is just an example of maybe these things in your own life. But what the Holy Spirit does is give us new eyes to see Jesus. And the more that the Holy Spirit works in our hearts is, for me, is to really reveal Jesus as the treasure. You know, like, as that's undergirding it all. It's like, this is all great, but it's not just like, rah, 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 let's be empowered for the sake of being empowered. But what's girding underneath, why Paul can write what he's writing from prison, is because the Holy Spirit has revealed consistently day after day to his heart that Jesus is the pearl of great price. That was Heather Kim joining me on the Good News Cruise that we recorded earlier this year, continuing our conversation on what is God saying to us and what are we doing about it. We're going to continue the conversation that I had with Heather tomorrow. So join us again tomorrow to continue to talk about this amazing passage in Ephesians chapter 1 about God living inside of us. Thank you so much for joining me, friends, and we'll see you tomorrow. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.